Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Backchat, our sister programme to The Backstory. I'm Claire Mutimer.
And I'm Susie Coulson. This is our regular slot where we talk about the most recent episode of The Backstory.
It's what we think, what you think, and quite a lot of going off topic.
So today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 4, Learning to Live Again, Tiff's story.
Yes, that's right. This is the story of Tiff Youngs. Essentially, Tiff appeared at the age of 28 to have like an amazing life. She was recently married to Tom Youngs, the England and Leicester Tigers rugby player. They had a new baby girl, Maisie, and a lovely family home in Leicester. But then everything was turned on its head when Tiff was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a type of blood cancer. And Tiff underwent several years like of treatment, including two stem cell transplants. And then last April, April 2017, she was told the totally devastating news that her cancer was terminal. And then this extraordinary turnaround in the last year, which now sees Tiff in remission from the disease.
Yeah, so they're kind of the facts of Tiff's story. But I think really what this programme was all about was her, wasn't it? Her thoughts, her feelings, you know, what it's like to have a baby and have cancer, how you ever go about telling your four-year-old that you're going to die. And then, of course, in Tiff's situation, how you cope with this really incredible news that somehow you're in remission.
Yes, exactly. I don't know how many mums are like me and regularly let their mind roll off to like worst case scenarios.
I think we all do that.
Do you do that? Yeah. And this is certainly one of them, being terminally ill with cancer and having small children. Mm. It's just like one of the worst combinations ever, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely. And
I think because of Tiff's remarkable situation where she's now in remission, it allowed her to talk like really honestly about the terminal diagnosis, because thank God she isn't that isn't the case anymore. And it probably allowed me also to ask those difficult questions.
Yeah, knowing that she was reflecting back on something that had happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I found that really moving.
I think we've had quite a few people in tears driving their cars around this week.
yeah, some big burly blokes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a really big response to this programme, haven't we?
Yes, I think more than anything, Tiff has just really struck a chord with everyone, hasn't she? She just sounds so natural and real and honest. And she's gone through, like, you know, us mum and dad's greatest fear of the terminal cancer. And it's just the most amazing thing that she's still here.
Yeah, it is. I think for Tom as well, you know, he's been through what for many guys will be one of their greatest fears, you know, the prospect of losing your wife and, you know, the mother of your child and, you know, facing not only your own grief, but knowing that you're going to be, you know, raising your child as a single dad. And, you know, I can't imagine the strain that put him under. But he sounds as though he's been amazing, really amazing.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I think he's definitely up for some kind of award.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't include this bit, but like something that certainly made me laugh actually was like Tiff said that she had said to Tom, like, so now that I'm not dying, like, would you have done all those things that, like, you know, we had agreed, like, should I have died, sort of thing? Would you have, like, gone and lived in the place that we talked about? And would you have plaited Maisie's hair every day? And, like, and I think Tom was like, oh, I don't know. Like, and then he was like, well, we don't have to talk about that now, do we? Like,
yeah, he should have just smiled and said, yes, of course, I would have done absolutely everything as you'd instructed.
So, yeah, some of the conversations that, like, Tiff and Tom have had, like, you know, I think they had a lifetime of conversations in, like, 5 years since they got married, like, because they've had to face so much stuff, but they really do seem as thick as thieves still, and like just the sweetest couple.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned kind of halfway through, don't you, that you know Tiff a little bit.
Yes, that's right. And to be honest, she's been ill like for almost since I first met her. And I'm, you know, I'm not in her close circle of friends, but I'm friends with some of them. And I've always heard what's been happening to Tiff, and I've seen her at parties, and you know, I could really relate to what she was saying about, you know, people talking to her at parties and stuff. Because I've been guilty of kind of looking across and thinking, oh, you know, would she want me to go and say hello? Would she want me to, you know, go and chat with her and engage with her? Like, or, you know, then I kind of thought, well, she's actually having a lot of fun with the, you know, the close friends that she's with. Like, maybe she'd rather I didn't, like, kind of, you know, interrupt. So, yeah, I could really relate to those sort of thoughts of, like, you know, when to sort of, like, go and ask her, and like, but also not to be a burden and annoyance.
No, it's just such a hard thing to get right, isn't it? I think, you know, people can, I think we all understand what a hard thing it is.
Yeah, and definitely Tiff understands, like, she's, you know, so empathic, that's the word. She's so empathic with, like, you know, what other people are thinking, you know, even when she was telling me about, like, the doctors telling her that the cancer was terminal, and she was sort of saying, you know, oh, it was really difficult for him.
She's thinking, like, yeah, thinking,
like,
about the doctor,
Tiff,
yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
So thoughtful for what other people are thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so into our regular slot of three things that we've learnt from this episode.
Yep.
I'm going to jump in with point number one. I'm kind of really interested when people are in, you know, a very difficult situation and other people say to them, oh, you know, you're so brave. And people kind of think, well, you know.
Yeah, they say,
well,
how are you coping?
Have any choice,
how are you coping? It's,
you know,
like, I'm coping because I've
got to
cope.
I've got to cope. And it's not about being brave. It's just about, you know, what else do you do?
Definitely.
But actually, kind of on the other side, I sort of hesitate to say it, but, you know, she was pretty brave. She is pretty brave. She's, you know, she certainly got a huge amount of kind of grit and determination about her, hasn't she? And I really, really admire that. You know, she had these little chats with herself, kind of forcing herself to go to parties even when she's maybe not happy with the way she looked, or, you know, not feeling very well, and just keeping up this very, very positive front so that, you know, people reacted well, people kind of had some idea of how to be around her.
Amazing. Like, she always felt like, you know, I can really vouch for that because I have actually seen her, you know, at lots of different things, and she's you know, she just has always, you know, you've just felt like she's just, oh, this cancer, you know, just got to cope with that and then be back to normal kind of thing. You know, she always felt like that was how she was coping with it.
Yeah Pretty admirable stuff.
So I think the thing that I have learned was about, well, I've learned lots of things, but I one of the things was about the different kind of things you can give away from your own body whilst you're still alive. So we all know about blood. But this podcast has made me want to give blood as the very least thing I could do, I think. And I've, like, tried to give blood in the past and not been able to because I've been to Africa too soon, or, you know, done unsuitable things that they didn't want me to. No, just
and then babies.
But now I think I'm good for giving away some of the red stuff. I'm making a pledge live now that there will be a picture on Instagram feed in the next few months of a bag of my blood.
Okay.
So there's something for everyone to look forward to.
Okay, lovely. That sounds
good,
that sounds great. Do you know, I'll join you in that. I'll come along and we'll do it together.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Good. We can eat the little rich teas or whatever you get at the end. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, so, and also in addition to the blood, I didn't really realise this, but there's also plasma that you can give away.
Okay.
And importantly, the blood stem cells, which is the thing that kind of, you know, potentially has saved Tiff and certainly was part of her treatment. And this is a bit of a slightly bigger ask of people because it's a procedure that involves, like, taking the blood from your arm and then it goes through a machine and extracts all the blood stem cells from it.
Right.
And then it goes back in your other arm. So it's kind of like a sort of circle, and it takes like 4 to 6 hours of them taking out these stem cells.
Right.
But obviously, it's a, you know, it has a massive impact on the person that you give those stem cells to, because it could bring them back from like really hard chemo or whatever.
Okay.
And you can register. The link is on our show notes, and the chances of being called up are like really slim. So I think it's like 5% in 10 years of chance of getting called up. But right. if you do, then, you know, you're potentially saving someone's life.
Yeah. And these things kind of sound very academic, don't they? Until you hear from someone like Tiff who has received that treatment.
Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
and suddenly it becomes much more real. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to, lovely thing to do.
Yeah. I think the third thing that I learned from the podcast was actually to do with Tom and how he dealt with the news that Tiff's cancer was terminal. And he went into work, didn't he, at Leicester Tigers, where he's captain of the team, and basically just sat everyone down, including the coaches, and told them all the position that he was in. And I, you know, I kind of wonder, maybe with a sports team, it's really vital to be very upfront with all your teammates. But, you know, I think wherever you are, you know, I think there's some benefit.
Yeah, I think we could all learn.
Yeah,
from doing
I think
that.
So. Yeah. I think so. You know, kind of everyone knows, there are no secrets. You can kind of slightly kind of set the agenda of how you want to be treated, again, kind of give people those clues about, you know, how they should be responding,
yeah.
which is always, you know, reassuring to people. I think, you know, Tom maybe kind of said, you know, it's business as usual while I'm here at the club. So I think there's a lesson for me definitely in that, you know, in terms of,
so if something happens, you're going to be like sitting me down.
Yeah, I am.
You're going to be like, right, Claire, yeah. I've got something to tell you. Right. Like our big work tea. Oh, it's just me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we move on to our regular section, a podcast recommendation. And we've had tons of inspiration this week because we've been at the British Podcast Awards last weekend, which
was good fun, wasn't it? I completely pretended to be cool around people that I'd seen.
Yeah, she forced me to take a photo with Josh Whittaker
in the background. Josh Whittaker's in the background.
Quick, he's in the background. And we didn't come away with any awards. That's for next year. But loads of contacts and lots of new podcasts to listen to. So this week, we will go with a no-brainer. The winner of the podcast of the year, the winner of the best entertainment and the best interview. She won 3 awards.
Yeah.
Griefcast, which has some similar characteristics to the backstory in that it's dealing with pretty heavy subjects, or subject in this case, which is grief, obviously. And Carrie Lloyd interviews a different comedian or author each week about someone they've lost. It's really just as simple as that, but it's worth a listen.
Yeah, definitely worth a listen to that one.
So, Susie, I'm wondering what you would do, like going back to Tiff's story, like if you're in her situation of getting the terminal diagnosis, would you go down the route of alternative therapies like she did?
God, I really, do you know, I just don't know. I think you don't know until you're faced with it.
No, very true.
I think, you know, maybe we all have a tendency to say, oh, I'd try anything, but actually it's not that simple, is it? You know, I think that you know, Tiff really could have eaten whatever she liked. She could have done stuff that she enjoyed. But by choosing to follow that very strict diet, you know, she was only eating between 12 and 7, traveling from Leicester to London when she was feeling pretty dreadful to go and see the person who was treating her with, you know, that
cosmotic machine.
Yeah. You know, so actually, she was doing everything she could, but it was really, really hard work when she was feeling very, very poorly. So, you know, we sort of slightly flippantly say, oh, yeah, I'd do anything. But you can't underestimate just what that really means. It was a big undertaking what she did.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's interesting is sort of mindset. I was pretty careful in the podcast not to attribute Tiff's remission of, from the cancer to her positive mindset, because whilst, you know, she definitely has one, I felt that might undermine all those people who, despite a very positive mindset, have not survived, you know, their cancer.
Yeah.
As far as the sort of alternative therapies goes, I'm guessing that kind of like believing in those and hoping that they would play a part in her recovery, like, you know, played its part, as it were.
Yeah.
I was interested that Tiff was really worried about how people would construe her taking the cannabis oil. But of course, everyone responded with like, kind of go for it. It's amazing. And there's some real evidence that this high strength, I think it's called THC cannabis oil, has some very healing properties and is really good pain reliever as well.
So
I reckon I would take that.
Take that. Okay.
That was a long way of saying that I would definitely take the cannabis oil.
I think the other really interesting thing about Tiff is that, you know, on the one hand, she was doing everything that she possibly could to promote her chances of staying alive, but also she was facing up to the prospect of dying and the reality of that, yeah. and you know, what she could do to prepare her daughter Maisie for it. So, you know, it kind of gets you thinking, doesn't it, about what you would do in a situation like that. And, you know, I could really relate to what she was trying to do, you know, trying to be kind of the best mum that she could be while she was still alive, but also thinking ahead to what would happen after she died and trying to put things in place to support her daughter as she grew older.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, a really good thing to do. And it's sort of been proven, hasn't it, with some research that it does help kids after their mum's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's next with the backstory, Susie?
Well, Claire, you and I are going to beaver away in the back room of the backstory, making more shows for people to listen to. So please subscribe if you haven't already. It genuinely is entirely free. Keep us in your feed and we'll be back in a few weeks' time with some more fascinating backstories.
Yep, we are the Backstory Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, at the Backstory Pod on Twitter. Thank you so much to everyone who's left reviews on Apple Podcasts. It's a huge help to us. Please do leave a review if you haven't already. See it as the equivalent of the quid you would lob at us if we were busking in the street. Thank you also for the likes, the retweets, the shares. It all adds up. So please do share us and endorse us if you have enjoyed this. If you have a backstory you want to share, something that has happened in your life, do get in touch via the website, thebackstorypodcast.co.uk. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.